Welcome to the Lentil Intervention Podcast, raising awareness and inspiring action for personal and planetary health with your hosts, Ben and Emma.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ben Eidelberg.
And I'm Emma Strutt.
And welcome to episode 32. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast, as well as sign up to our newsletter and buy us a coffee while you're doing that as well on our website, where you will also find all the details with all the hyperlinks in our show notes. Now, following on from the last episode with Yvette Hall, we bring you the third and final recording from the Evidence-Based Eating New Zealand series of health-focused public lectures. The Dunedin theme was avoiding severe illness, and our next speaker is Emma.
That's right. So today we're going to be hearing from Professor Jim Mann, who will be discussing New Zealand's looming diabetes disaster and the role of plant-based diets in tackling this serious issue. So as a reminder, if you like what you hear here, please check out the EBE website to find out more details on their upcoming events in Auckland and Wellington.
So I'm going to talk very informally. I always do that anyway, but it'll be even more informal tonight, and I'll talk briefly so that we can have a bit more discussion. I should just say, in answer to two of the previous questions, I suggest you and your colleagues come and talk to me about the lack of teaching in the medical school. You're absolutely right, there is lack of teaching. There used to be far more, and I'm very happy to support you if you wish to take that up. The other question that somebody asked you was about dietitians and nutritionists. Yes, they are taught about these things, and some of them are actively in practice. There is an issue about what dietitians and nutritionists can actually do in terms of talking about a strictly plant-based diet as distinct from a predominantly plant-based diet. And maybe I'll come back to that if people are interested in the general discussion. But I'm going to spend 15 minutes probably just talking rather more briefly than I was going to talk about the topic I was given, which was really about diabetes. And type 2 diabetes in particular, although I should say that type 1 diabetes is also increasing, but it is perhaps not quite as much of an issue in terms of the topic of tonight's discussion as is type 2 diabetes. I was going to show you a whole series of slides that I showed just 2 months ago to politicians and others in Wellington to try and focus their minds on the subject of type 2 diabetes specifically. And before we get on to talk about type 2 diabetes and plant-based diets, I really just want to expand a little bit in terms of what Martin was talking about. Type 2 diabetes has increased exponentially in the world, but it has increased perhaps even more strikingly in New Zealand because of the increased risk amongst Pacific, and in order of frequency, Pacific, our increasing Asian population in New Zealand and, of course, Māori, compared with the European population of New Zealand. The rates in those three groups, especially in Pacific people, is amongst the highest in the world. Of course, the biggest number of people with type 2 diabetes is still people of European descent, because people of European descent are in the majority in the New Zealand population. But the risks are, and I'm sorry I can't show you the pictures, are of course astronomical in these other populations. Just to give you some idea of the cost to the health service, Martin mentioned this, 0.7% of the entire GDP of New Zealand goes on diabetes, and the cost of diabetes is greater than any single other disease in New Zealand. You saw a lot of, Martin again mentioned heart disease being number one still. Cancer, I never quite know why people have to argue about this as to whether cancer is more important than heart disease or heart disease. Well, most stupid debate, really. But of course, an enormous amount of heart disease and other diseases are due to diabetes. Increasingly so, when I was a young doctor, that was not the case. But now, if you go into a coronary care unit, the majority of people have either got diabetes or pre-diabetes. So kidney disease, the commonest cause of kidney disease, the commonest cause of kidney dialysis is diabetes. And the really scary thing is I have had 12-year-old, I think, is the youngest patient I ever seen with type 2 diabetes. When I was a younger doctor, I can actually remember soon after I came to Dunedin, about 35 years ago, I remember going into the tea room one morning in the days when we still had time to have morning tea in clinics and saying, "You won't believe this, I've actually seen a 30-year-old with type 2 diabetes." That was 30 years ago. Now it's 12-year-old. So pretty scary stuff. And I think at last government has started to realize that they are sitting on a minefield. I mean, there are not enough beds for renal dialysis in New Zealand. And I remember just a couple of months ago, the minister the Associate Minister for Health for Māori Health, Penny Henare, who's a very nice bloke, he said, "I don't want to go to the opening of another renal dialysis unit." And I had to tell him that two renal dialysis units are currently being built in Auckland because of what's happening. So diabetes, we are sitting on not an epidemic, but a pandemic of type 2 diabetes. So that was the first part of what I was going to say. So what can I tell you about the hard science of plant-based diets and diabetes? And I'm happy to talk about the other conditions as well. Now, I'm not saying some of the stuff that you've heard about is not hard science, but I'm talking about the kind of science that is actually going to persuade politicians, doctors, and everybody who's got a half a brain to rub together that we are actually talking serious stuff. And the difficulty that we've got in terms of science, yes, she did an absolutely superb talk, I agree with you. If I could do half as well as you without the technology going wrong, I'd be very pleased. I at least was prepared for it now. I mean, I sort of had 5 minutes to psych myself up for having to give a talk without any props. So one of the problems that we've got is that when you talk about a plant-based diet and the science, it's quite hard to actually do the sort of research that I have to do to persuade people and to publish things in the kind of literature where I have to publish things. To just talk about a plant-based diet, we have to use sort of surrogate measures for a plant-based diet. We've got to talk about dietary fiber, very hard measurements we can get of dietary fiber, which is actually a pretty good indicator, not of a totally plant-based diet, but of a largely plant-based diet. We can talk about whole grains, which is again a big component of a plant-based diet. And of course, we can talk about fruits and vegetables. But the sort of actual science to talk specifically about plant-based diets is more difficult. So let me just tell you what there is around in terms of diabetes science in talking about these measures of a plant-based diet. If we look at dietary fiber, which is something I've been interested in for most of my academic career as well as my clinical career, dietary fiber has actually got the potential to reduce total mortality by 20%. It's absolutely astronomical. There are amazing studies which show this absolutely convincingly. And not only dietary fiber, but if you look at whole grain foods, it's something similar. That translates directly into type 2 diabetes. So not only can you reduce the risk of premature mortality. We're not going to live forever, but what we really want to do is stop people from dying before they should be dying. And as Martin pointed out, we don't even want to stop people from dying, but we want to keep people healthy. And of course, type 2 diabetes is one of the, for the reasons that I've just given you, one of the key reasons why older people are unhealthy. It's with type 2 diabetes. So you can reduce that risk by 20%. Now, 20% might not sound great, but it is. There ain't no pills that can do that, not a single pill. Even the new pills that have just been funded for type 2 diabetes, and great that we've got new pills at last for type 2 diabetes, but they can't do that. So we've got this evidence. And the other really interesting thing, in fact, one of the most exciting things now, is that we can actually, there is actually really hard evidence, not only that the sort of things that are markers for plant-based diets, such as dietary fiber and whole grains and fruits and vegetables, we did the first trials in the early 1980s, showing the potential to improve diabetes control. But we actually now know that not only can you improve diabetes control, but you can actually achieve remission of type 2 diabetes. And by remission of type 2 diabetes, I mean you can actually stop people's pills and sometimes insulin for people that have been on treatment for a prolonged period of time. Now, we've got to be absolutely honest here and say that it's more than just a plant-based diet that's required. You have got to lose because most people are overweight or obese with type 2 diabetes. Not everybody, but most people are. You've got to be talking about losing 15 kilograms of weight, which is not actually enormous when you think of many people with type 2 diabetes will often weigh 100 kilograms. So you're talking about getting down to 85 kilograms. One of the difficulties that we've had, and people like me have had, and it's driven me absolutely crazy, is that I'm sure you've all heard of the trend and don't quite know what to call it. I think we'll just call it trend because all the other words are very derogatory and rude. But the belief that high-fat diets are very good for diabetes, I'm sure you've heard that. I mean, there's some very sort of evangelical types that go around proselytizing, and proselytizing is the right word. Well, the short answer is that the best work that has been done on the remission of type 2 diabetes has actually involved liquid formula diets, which sounds very unnatural to have liquid formula diets, but it really is anything that will give you this weight loss of around 15 kilograms. And then the maintenance of the remission has actually been produced by the sort of diet that I'm talking about. Now, I have to be absolutely clear with you, with regard to the bulk of the science, is not, that I'm talking about, is not based on a wholly plant-based diet. It is based on a predominantly plant-based diet. And I cannot put my hand on my heart and say that you cannot eat some non-plant-based foods in order to achieve the kind of miracles that I'm talking about, or indeed even the miracles that some of the people that have written books, there are many books like that, by the way. But if you say to me, can it be achieved if I have a little bit of meat or a little bit of fish? The answer is that the real science looks as if you can achieve those results. If you want to ask me for my personal opinion, I think there's another very good reason for having a totally plant-based diet, and that is environmental sustainability. And I'm quite surprised that we haven't actually heard about this tonight, because if I was standing up here and talking about the merits of a plant-based diet, which actually I am, I would say that there are tremendous health benefits from a predominantly plant-based diet, and if you really wanted to go the whole way, a far better scientific justification relates to environmental sustainability. So I know that's a bit heretical, but I just want to challenge Martin, you see, to come and disagree with me if he wishes.
I agree with you entirely.
Oh, well, this is getting boring. I thought we were going to have some debate. That's not bad. I've done it in 15 minutes. So I thought I'd just be a little bit provocative. And given that I was allowed a half an hour with questions, we can have some discussion not only directed at me, but directed at all three speakers and anybody else that wishes to express a view. And I'll stop talking at this stage, but very happy to answer questions. I thought you were going to say the technician has arrived, but
that was great. Thank you very much. This is not going. 1, 2, 3, 1. There we go. First question for me. You mentioned that doesn't have to be all plant-based diet. What research? Is there any research that says 5%, 10%?
That's a horrible question because you know the answer. Of course, there isn't. But I mean, what I can say is that our research, and I mean, we've researched this whole business for, has not been with fully plant-based diets. But there have been, I mean, the sort of diets that we have worked with have been diets that have had a relatively small amount of either meat or fish if people have wanted to have it. You know, what I choose to do myself is completely different from what I feel I can say. What I can say to patients. I did forget to say one thing, but and I'll say it now in case it doesn't come up in conversation. It really follows on from one of Martin's slides, and that is, what is a vegan diet? And that you can have an incredibly unhealthy vegan diet. And there are some vegans that do have an unhealthy diet. I mean, I've seen young people who've gone on to vegan diets who've been sent to see me because they've actually become deficient in a whole range of nutrients. The point that I did forget to make that I wanted to make is taking that one step further. Because people like me have gone on at great length about the benefits of whole grains and fiber, there has been a huge proliferation of fairly healthy looking foods, not those sort of disgusting looking things you showed, Martin, but sort of really quite good things, you know, sort of health bars, high in fiber. What they don't say is they also contain more sugar than would feed a nation in a single bar, you know. There's also foods, a lot of foods that have added fiber. And one of our areas of research, which has been a considerable amount of interest recently, and a lot of others have picked it up, and we were not actually the first to come up with the idea, is that even if you have food that fits the definition of whole grain, and I mean whole grain has come almost to sound like a holy grail of healthy eating, that how you process the whole grain food can actually make a profound difference to the health consequences. And you can actually have highly processed whole grain food. You can have whole grain bread that is actually plant-based, fully plant-based, that is still not healthy if it's overly processed. And I think this is one of the really interesting areas of research now that is going on. That you know, a lot of bread, of course, is not good. I mean, it's got too much fat and too much salt and even sugar. But even good whole grain bread can be over processed. So that was just a little side issue. But
good points, though. Question up the back.
What is the crown as a treaty partner supposed to do? Where is the line between public policy? What would you suggest in public policy?
So how do we implement that? And I think the real difficulty in implementing that is if you really have an implicit belief in the fact that you have to go onto a fully plant-based diet. Because I can tell you, I have had this debate on many a marae and with many Māori friends and colleagues, and they would not accept the necessity of being on a fully plant-based diet, and particularly, and this arose over COVID, I mean, I was actually talking, as I've indicated before, I believe a good reason for not eating meat is to do with environmental sustainability. And the response, and I mean, I please forgive me, but I'm not talking on behalf of Māori, I'm simply representing a view that has been presented to me on many times. That actually, if you choose to have your meat by going hunting and having animal, you know, and killing an animal for the sake of eating, that is very different from breeding the kind of meat that's being bred for sustainability. So I think what you are talking about is a very complicated debate, which has got two halves. The first half, Evie's addressed 100% agreement. The second half is a much more difficult half, but a debate which is taking place, I'm glad to report, and you will hear more about that debate.
Thank you for that. Again, if I could just interject, you just said that the iwi should be on a fully plant-based diet, which contradicts a little bit.
No, I didn't say iwi should.
So what did you say?
Did I say iwi?
No, you discussed basically whether you went on a fully plant-based diet, and you discussed if you would basically kill a wild animal. It's slightly different.
I hope I didn't say that, because if I did, it's maybe it's past my bedtime.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a lady there who's...
Yes.
This is really good, talking about this Māori going fully plant-based, because all around the world I find that culture comes very much into when people change their diet. And traditionally there has never been a culture which was fully plant-based. So if you look at the blue songs, and you're probably very familiar with that, there has always been a little bit of meat or something in it, but it was predominantly plant-based. So I think the approach to change them on a higher level, this will be more palatable than trying to go fully plant-based.
So the trouble is, where do you set the level, you know, it's 5%, 10%, and how do you do that? Half a peat, whole peat?
It's extremely difficult research to do that, yep.
Well, thank you very much for your presentations. I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm at that point where I say I want to live healthier, I want to go more plant-based, I don't really need to eat meat, but then you've got ketosis, this, and all these almond milks and coconut milk, and what's the fashion. But how do I actually get into it? Where can I just go and say, like, oh, wow, that looks good, I would like to cook that. And I really struggle with, like, good source that I can trust. Where can I go? So I'm now today learned, I can go to this EVE.NZ page, perhaps. But where do I start, and how do I know I can trust that source?
Well, while these guys are deciding who's going to answer, I'll just have one comment. I slightly panic when you start talking about some of the milks, because some of those milks are the most unsustainable, environmentally unsustainable imaginable. I think cashew is about the worst, apparently. I'm not an authority on this, by the way, but they're very... And the oat is the best one, but Marta's going to tell you where to go for the advice.
Yeah, so I agree with Jim. Oat is the best one. Something like almond milk, for example, which we've used, uses an awful lot of water, particularly in the areas where it's firm, such as California. So it's a drawback. However, they have been utilised by Esselstyn in terms of this treatment of heart disease.
I have a question. Sorry, I've been asking a few questions tonight. Jim, bearing in mind the huge obesity problem, diabetes problem the country's got. Would you support a whole food plant-based diet as the option that the country should be taking to address that?
I mean, the answer is yes, but it's with the same reservation that, I mean, if somebody comes to me and says, is it okay for the purpose that you've just indicated to have a small amount of meat twice a week, I can't say, on the basis of existing science, I can't say that's a bad thing to do. You could still achieve the aims that you want to achieve. But I can't say whether it's, you know, 3 ounces or 2 ounces or whatever. But I mean, I have seen so many of my patients who have gone on a largely whole food plant-based, you know, diet, that kind of thing you're talking about, but they've still had some of the above. So I mean, that is the difficulty that you that we've got. If you want to advocate a wholly.
But if we lost the whole thing just because of that one point.
I have total sympathy, but I'm here to talk about the science.
No, I totally agree. In fact, I'm like Martin, I agree with you too. But the question is, where does it, do you draw the line, or in drawing the line, do we somehow compromise or scuttle the whole boat?
I think that is an open question, which is, from a scientific point of view, cannot be answered. I mean, the country would be a totally different country if we dramatically reduced our intake of meat. For many people, I mean, they say we've given up meat, but we eat fish. Well, as is clear to you, I have a considerable interest in the sustainability issue. Well, the sustainability of fish stocks is a huge issue. So, you know, you can, if you want to go down the animal welfare thing, and people say, well, it's fine to eat fish because all they've got is a little, you know, tiny nervous system. They don't feel, you know, all that kind of thing. But the sustainability issue gets you there. So, I just don't think we can answer that question.
Although from a saving the world point of view, you could.
From a saving the world point of view, I mean, one of my colleagues who's done most of the work that I talk about now, who called Andrew Reynolds, who still works here, he has done some very interesting work on greenhouse gas emissions. And I mean, there's no doubt that in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, the best kind of diet that you could go on is a totally plant-based diet, unquestionably. It is a reason to support it. But again, we back to this. So we're going around in circles. I think there's no point in pursuing it because I can't take that any further.
What about when a patient goes to a doctor with a serious illness, why shouldn't the doctor first say, we can cure that,
if you change your diet, and then if you don't want to do that, that's fine, we'll give you the pills and the surgery. Yeah. Why shouldn't all doctors be instructed to do
that? Well, I mean, that I am happy to answer. I mean, I am totally sympathetic with what Evie is saying, that, I mean, the average doctor at Martin will bear me out. If there are any other medics here, will also bear me out. Our medical education doesn't offer that, and it jolly well should. That's unequivocal, and unfortunately, in New Zealand and the world generally, the doctors are not given this education. There's actually less nutrition taught in Otago now than there was.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm really pleased to hear you say that, and that was my last question. The lady up the back.
Yeah. So is it the weight loss that's the key factor here, or is it the plants?
It's both. Oh, it's both.
Is it both?
Yeah, absolutely, unequivocally.
That's probably the key message, then.
In terms of sort of weight loss versus the actual, there's a huge body of evidence that says that the plant-based foods can provide benefit quite independent of obesity. I mean, it's not just small-based laboratory studies. We've probably got studies alone from my group involving many, many hundreds, and so they're probably tens of thousands of people, studies. Dietary fiber, and particularly certain types of dietary fiber, have profound beneficial metabolic effects way beyond the effect on body weight.
I've been diagnosed with heart disease. What's the best thing I can do?
Yeah. Martin alluded to a study which was published in The Lancet, I don't know how many years ago, of people by Ornish.
1998.
Where it actually showed that there was reversal of the atheroma of the arteries for people that went on a strictly vegan diet, a plant-based vegan diet. It was a very strict vegan.
It can actually reverse.
It absolutely reverse.
I thought that damage was permanent.
Okay.
It's not.
It depends what damage. I mean, we've got to be careful here. If somebody has had a myocardial infarction, if they've had a coronary thrombosis with death of a heart muscle, that heart muscle is not going to regrow. But if you have narrowing of the coronary arteries, you can get regression of that. Of that narrowing, the actual blockage can reduce, and it was shown in the study that Martin referred to. You can show it with certain, those new statin drugs show it, there have been a number of studies that have shown you can actually get reversal of the atheroma, though not reversal of the death of the heart muscle if it's occurred.
Jim, you want your last word?
No. I've got nothing more to say. I've said everything I know.
Well, thank you very much. It was very interesting. Presentation. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lentil Intervention Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share this podcast with your friends, and visit the website for more details.